Let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. And if you're using the Chapel Bible, you will find this psalm on page 961. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 124. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So far. What a beautiful psalm. It's very encouraging. We have been considering these psalms of ascent, going through them, and this would be the fifth one in order, after we use the eighth psalm as the servant candle to light this side of the seven. And there'll be another seven on the other side of Psalm 127. And when we consider these psalms, we know they were used by the people of old for several reasons, perhaps initially to sing as they went from Babylon out of captivity to Jerusalem to Israel, and then later on, perhaps, I have to say perhaps because nobody knows for sure, they would sing these when they would go to the special feasts, those three major feasts of the year, and when they were expected to have a presence before the Lord in Jerusalem. The men had to come of a certain age three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they would come there, and as they would be going, they would be singing these psalms, ascending up to Jerusalem. And the third thought was that when they reached there, there were eight steps on one side, then they went backwards up another seven, and these 15 steps were supposedly used one psalm at a time. Again, we say perhaps, but we recognize these psalms in a nice way that they show us, we can apply them to ourselves, that we are in a journey through life. We're on the way to a better Jerusalem than a place on earth called Jerusalem. We're going to the heavenly Jerusalem. But while we're going to be faced with trials and tribulations. And we saw this, it comes out in these psalms. And here there's no question there's a trial. It's called a Song of Ascents of David. And some have speculated and said, well, this could be David. When could this have happened? But we know those speculators, those that are skeptics, they don't recognize the Word of God as it's presented to us simply. So we can say, yes, well, certain David wrote this. He could have wrote this from his own personal experience, from something he and the nation of Israel went through. He could also have written this looking back, when he was alive, he could look back and remember the experiences of the nation in the past, such as the deliverance from Egypt and Pharaoh. Or he could have written this prophetically, by the Spirit of God, prophetically, of a deliverance that would take place in the future for the nation. And we know there was another great deliverance. A remnant came back from that captivity in Babylon, during the time of Nehemiah and Ezra. And so there are these three possible ways. But I'd like to consider the setting here. He uses some allegories, for example, in verse 4 and 5 about waters, you know, and it kind of gives us a sense of perhaps what he was thinking when the psalm may have been written. Let's look at this psalm in a big picture. Notice a couple of things. Verse 1 and 2. He repeats this. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. You know, we go through experiences and it's very important to learn the lesson from our experiences. To recognize God was in them. Sometimes we go through things and we don't learn anything. And what a sad... We go through trial and we haven't learned a thing. It's so sad. But David, he learned something. And he realized, no matter how mighty he was as a military leader, no matter how perhaps clever and physically strong he may have been, able to rally men around himself, certainly capable, a capable person, He gives the God the glory. He gives the Lord the glory. If it had not been for the Lord, and he wants the people with him to join him saying it, so he repeats it. But he says, let Israel now say. Not just me, David, I want everyone to say it. This was a deliverance to the nation, and so we are. We're a community of believers. The Lord has delivered us from the judgment to come. And we can say, if it had not been for the Lord, let the assembly say, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, he's on our side. It reminds us of Romans 8, verse 31. What can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? He is for us. He is for us. Notice also the three thens in verse 3, 4, and 5. Then. You know, if this wasn't true, then this would have happened. So the first five verses really show us the greatness of the danger they went through and faced. The greatness of the danger. Notice at the end of verse 5, he speaks about our soul, our collective soul. You know, they represent their life. It's what it is. It's what is you, your soul. Our soul would have been gone. And he repeats this expression, our soul, in verse 4, at the end of verse 4, at the end of verse 5. And then in the beginning of verse 7, our soul, how important it is. You know, this is where our heart is, and we have to guard that. But we also need it protected by the Lord. So he focuses on these. Notice in verse 4 and verse 5, the waters. Verse 4, the waters, the stream, the proud waters or the swollen waters in verse 5. That word proud means swollen. It was like a flood, you know. Have you ever seen a flood? It's a frightening thing. And when the water builds up and it starts heading downhill and it just seems to have a life of its own, and it's, you don't want to stand in its way because it will carry you away and you will not survive. It will swallow you up. And this is what he's describing. There was one event in the life of the children of Israel during the lifetime of David that I think fits so well with this. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And just to get it context. Again, we're not certain that this was the actual event, but it seems quite possible. Saul had died, Jonathan was dead, David had been anointed king, and now the Philistines come. In verse 17 of 2 Samuel 5, page 476 in the Chapel Bible. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. They were out to get him. This one who killed our mighty warrior Goliath, we didn't forget that. We're going to get our vengeance. We're coming after him. Men are rising up. That's Psalm 124, verse 2. When men rose up against us. And what happens? Verse 18 of this chapter in 2 Samuel. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. You know, it's hard to find this on a map. I've read some commentaries that suggesting that it is a valley that is actually close to Jerusalem, but not that close. But it is a place where there was a very fertile valley. But the name Rephaim means giants. It was the valley of the giants. And it's suggesting that this is where the giants would go, and they would take, the Philistines would take that fruit that would have been such a delight to the Israelites. But they would take it. The Valley of Rephaim. We have valleys of giants, don't we? And that's where the enemy goes. Could bring fear to the heart. But what does David do in verse 19? It says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? What a wonderful prayer. He is being all the way my Savior leads me. He is looking to the Lord. What should I do, Lord? I have a responsibility to, as king, to lead the nation, but I'm going to be dependent upon you. This is a wonderful prayer, and the Lord gives him direction. He asks, will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines in your hand. And so David doesn't just pray, but he responds to the answer to the prayer, and he's victorious in verse 20. And here's the key verse that helps us link this event with Psalm 124. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there and said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. And we can go further. The Philistines rise up again. David inquires again. The Lord says, do not go up yet. He says, wait. And David waits. And he waits for the signal that the Lord told him. You go by the mulberry trees, and when you hear a sound, no doubt that would be the wind going through those leaves and would make a particular sound. Then you go. So there had to be a waiting on the Lord in that case. And so I think this is a very probable setting where David was prompted by the Spirit of God to write this psalm. The enemies were surrounding. The men rose up. And go back to Psalm 124, that second verse. When men rose up, that word men is our word Adam. And it's really in reference to mankind. We all, in every generation, men will rise up against those that love the Lord, those that want to follow the Lord. There will be obstacles. There will be opposition. It goes with the territory. The Lord said, in this world you will have tribulation. Paul wrote, if anyone wants to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. There will be consequences, but good ones, because the Lord is with you through that trial, and you're going to have a peace in your heart and a joy that is unexplainable because you're in His will. And the Lord is on your side. You can repeat that Psalm 124. I think we can all do that during the time of a trial. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side. I think of times in the history of Israel. Of course, we think of Pharaoh and the escape that the people had, and they went through the Red Sea, and that was water that they went through. But also in times when Saul was persecuting David, when he was alive, he rose up against David. And there was an occasion when he wanted his son to stop supporting David. He said, Jonathan, as long as you continue to support David, your kingdom will not be possible. You will not be able to rule. And Jonathan said, I'm going to be for David. And do you know what Saul did? He was constantly throwing his javelin at David. He decides he's going to throw it at his own son. And it was a wake-up call for Jonathan. Then he realized how serious his father was about rising up against David. When you think about Nebuchadnezzar, the wrath that he displayed, you know, heat up that furnace sevenfold, so hot that the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, they died because it was so hot. But God was with them, and God spared them. God knows how to deliver. Think of the wrath, we have that in verse 3, when their wrath was kindled. Think about the wrath of Herod at the birth of the Lord Jesus. Think about that wrath, what that man, that wicked man did. He said, well, those wise men, they didn't tell me where he was. Well, I got a plan. I'm going to kill all the male children 2 years younger in Bethlehem. The wrath. Who can help us against this wrath? You know, the wrath of man is a terrible thing. And David is talking about it here. He goes into the extent of the danger about, he typifies it as water, you know. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. There are these experiences in life when we in ourselves cannot overcome a certain circumstance. And we have to depend on it. And David is describing such a case. We may face that. But there's a special promise to us. And I'd like us to turn to Isaiah 59, verse 19. When these floods come in, page 1154 in the Chapel Bible, Isaiah 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And we've witnessed this. We've witnessed this in our country here. There was judicial decisions made to allow for federal-funded abortion. The very woman who pled for that to happen became a believer in Christ, and the rest of her life campaigned against that decision called Roe versus Wade. Imagine that. The media won't highlight that. That woman who's called Roe, you know, we have John Doe and Jane Roe. Roe, whose name is an anonymous name, that woman became a believer in Christ, and for the rest of her life campaigned against abortion. God, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. God used the very same person. These floods, and the Lord overcomes the flood. And we see that the danger just seems to get to the point which is escalating, right? It escalates. We have nowhere to turn. You know, I'd like to even apply this to an addiction. Let's say I have an addiction. And maybe I'm a gambler and I just can't help myself. And, you know, I'm gambling on sports, I'm gambling on cards, I'm gambling on whatever, you know. And I just can't help myself. I'm completely overwhelmed, but I can be delivered. The people were delivered, I can be delivered. I can be delivered from an addiction. So we can apply it this way as well. All of us can. And we find out how God delivered the people in this very psalm. He delivers them, and they praise him for it in verses 6 and 7. Right? He delivers his people. He will deliver us. He will deliver you or me if I have a bondage environment in a particular problem in my life. He will deliver me. But I have to learn to turn to him. They say in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth." You know, the imagery changes. We're no longer talking about water and the flood, but now we're talking about the prey and the teeth. Now remember in David's own life, what he said to Saul when Saul questioned, well, you know, you're going to go against Goliath. And he rehearsed something that happened in his past as a shepherd. He said, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he said, "The Lord," he gives the Lord the credit, "delivered me when," let's find that, 1 Samuel 17, and he says here, in verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth.'" From its mouth. I can just imagine that little lamb being carried off by that animal, that bear, that wolf, whatever it could be, that lion, and David running after it, striking it, delivering it, and that animal, that bear and that lion had to release its captive. The teeth of the enemy. There's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 57, verse 4. We read something about the teeth too. Psalm 57, verse 4, we read, "My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men, who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword." It's not just that the image of them, an animal grabbing a hold of us and not letting us go until we're devoured, but it's the image that they're speaking things, maybe false accusations, maybe things that are vulgar, using the Lord's name in vain, harming us, hurting us by listening to that. And here he says here, "Their tongues are a sharp sword. The teeth are like spears and arrows." You know, the teeth. In this verse 6, in effect, we have the three L's. We have the lamb, that's us. We have the lion, that's the Satan, our enemy, with the teeth. He's our roaring lion. In 1 Peter 5, he's a roaring lion, looking, walking around, seeing who he's going to devour, right? And we have the Lord, the three L's. The lamb, the lion, the Lord. And who overcomes? The Lord. We overcome because he overcomes. The three L's. You know, Paul spoke about this when he wrote his last letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He uses this expression about being delivered from the lion's mouth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, or verse 16, this is page 1827 in the Chapel Bible. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, "In my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." Imagine that. You have no one to help you. "May not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Now, it could very well be that he was going to be thrown in to an arena where there were lions. It could have been. Or he may be speaking of this in an allegorical way, that he was being surrounded by lions. Do you remember the Lord in Psalm 22? He said, "They surround me, these great bulls of Bashan. They're surrounding me, and they're ready to devour. But the Lord is able to overcome." Then he gives another illustration. The bird escapes. The bird escapes from the fowler. We don't use that word much today, but a fowler was a person who was kind of a hunter who hunted birds, little birds. And they used nets. And they were very clever. They knew what tempted the birds, you know. Birds like certain types of food, so they put a little niceties out there for them. But without the birds noticing it, there is a snare. There's a net that's going to be cast over them, and they're going to be forever under bondage, right? Birds also flee from fear, right? Have you ever watched birds feeding, and all of a sudden a car comes by, and all of a sudden they all take off, then they all come back, you know, because they're afraid. So they quickly move. And a fowler is one who studies these things and figures out ways of... That's the fowler is really Satan. He knows the weaknesses of men. He's had centuries to study us, and he knows where we're weak. And he'll try this. Well, it didn't work. I'll try that. Finally, he'll find a weak spot, and he'll focus on that. But it says escaped because the snare was broken. And who broke that snare? The Lord. He broke it. Cut a hole right in that net. Out you go. And, you know, you don't linger there. If the Lord delivers, you don't linger there. You fly the coop. You get away. That's what you do. You're like that bird. You leave that setting. You don't stay there where you were enslaved by Satan. You get out of that. If you have friends that are causing you to go the wrong way, you disassociate yourself with those so-called friends. You don't hang out with them. You get better friends. And I know peer pressure, it's a real thing. But when that snare is broken, you don't linger. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, verse 13, that there hath no temptation that has come upon us that is not common to man. But with the temptation, God will provide the way of escape. That's the word here, escape. Escape. It's a wonderful word. So this is the way God delivered. He plucked us from that teeth. He made a hole in that net. And we must run away from that lion once that his teeth are letting go. We must fly the coop once that snare is gone. But here in the end, this last verse in Psalm 124, it's such a beautiful verse. It says where our hope is. And we'll end with that. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You know, I'd just like to linger on this for a moment. They say, there was a commentator that wrote about this one verse in the 1700s, and he said that the French Protestants would begin every worship service with this verse. This was their verse. So imagine every time you came together and you repeated this verse, I think you would remember it. I would. This was the verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I think about that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, where we were looking at the lion as, you know, the Satan as the lion. But a little before that, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Think about that expression. The mighty hand of God. They're saying, who made heaven and earth. It's almost a similar thought. He is all powerful. Omnipotent is the Latin expression. He is all powerful. And if he is all powerful, he can do anything. He can deliver. And this nation was delivered from Babylon, delivered from the Philistines, delivered from Egypt. Oh, they kept going back into that snare. They kept going back into those lion teeth. And one day they're going to have to be delivered even again. But God is faithful. And we can claim these things for ourselves. These blessings that David rehearses, they're not just for the children of Israel. They're for you and me too. And we can know that he is the one. He's our deliverer. He has delivered us from the consequence of our sin by faith in him. And he wants to deliver us from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he is able. Those are our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is a beautiful psalm to turn to when you're going through trials. And David was looking back. So may it encourage us as we go on for the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our loving God and Father, we thank thee for thy word. It's so rich with meaning and so encouraging to us to know that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we know that thou art all powerful, our God and Father, thou art all able to meet every circumstance. We know that thy timing is always perfect for thy purposes, and we can trust thee no matter what. We also pray that if we're in a snare, if we're in the teeth, as it were, of the lion's mouth, that we would look to thee for deliverance. And once delivered, we would remove ourselves from those dangers, and we would continue to look to thee. So we ask thy help now as we go on for thee. We thank thee for this day and pray thy care over us as we go home for safe travel, and help us to continue to live lives that please thee. We pray this all in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.